Hello, and thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center. For more information about this teaching and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com. Well, good morning, Freedom Gateway, Freedom Gateway Church. I am bringing a message to you in the comfort of the reception area of the church building office. And so this is different. I hope you are comfortable. You're probably enjoying maybe a coffee or perhaps an orange juice. Right now, I just want to ask the Lord to just be with us as He reveals what He desires for us. Lord God, we bow before You, grateful that You are the God of all creation. And Lord, we submit to Your heart, to Your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that You would guide us into understanding, Lord, those things that are the present truth, those things that are the truths that You want for us to hear as Your body this morning. And Lord, we just thank You that we can have this technology in order to remain safe in our own various circumstances, and yet also to be gathered. So Lord, thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about something that really the Lord impressed strongly on my heart prophetically last worship time. We were actually singing, as you will recall, the song Glorious Ruins. And it is a, I don't actually have those verses before me, but it really spoke about just the reality that we're coming out of the ashes. And that was just a real prophetic promise that I really felt like the Lord was speaking. And I felt like that was something that He wanted us to really spend some time digging into. So I've spent some time in consideration of that. But it was interesting to me also because after the service, one of our prophetic people had spoken to me about something that she had seen, something that was seen in the realm of the Spirit as we were worshiping. And what was seen was a scarab beetle. Ick. A scarab beetle is a beetle that is found in ancient Egypt, and it actually has a symbolic meaning connected with it. In fact, in Egypt, they would actually worship this beetle, as it turns out. But this scarab beetle had connected with that were these ideas, that it was a symbol of resurrection, it was a symbol of transformation, and it was a symbol of protection. Resurrection, transformation, and protection. And it's interesting because the bug would actually feed on excrement. Yes, that's true. So it would actually feed on dung. And you can look it up if you want to find out a little bit more about it. But this seemed to be something that the Lord was speaking. And I just find that very, very interesting that, this prophet had said, this prophetic voice was saying that the Lord was saying that out of this darkness and ugliness, out of what may seem like a dung-like circumstance, and it's trying to capture the hearts of people, but out of this, God's people are going to be, and for those, all of those who are open to His Spirit, are going to be coming into a season of transformation, protection, and resurrection. And so I just think that that is something that we want to hold fast to. I believe this resurrection-like transformation that is taking place in the church will enable us to be the church that rises from the ashes. So I want to talk to you about three different things today. I want to talk to you about the idea of fasting. I want to talk to you about the idea of seeking righteousness. And I want to talk to you about the idea of being restored to the gospel. And that all of those things actually are moving in the direction of enabling us as the church to arise out of the ashes. So I want to start out by just saying, as you know, we've been in this time of fasting, and some of us are fasting meals, of course, or fasting certain things that we might otherwise consume. Fasting, perhaps digital media, whatever that might be. If it's digital media, maybe you wouldn't be on this. But the idea is that we're fasting, and the whole idea of fasting is to position ourselves so that we can be more sensitive to and have our ears inclined more intently to what God is speaking to us. And so a time of fasting is really a time to fast and hold fast to him. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 20, it says, "Fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him." And it's just a bit of a spin, but an understanding that a fast is really a time where we're really preeminently seeking to hold fast to him. Hold fast in that Hebrew word, it actually is a word that actually speaks of clinging or adhering to something, or to catch as by pursuit. So we're following close and hard after is what that speaks of. So the fear of the Lord is not a fear in a sense that we know that the Lord loves us, and yet he also wants us to have a proper respect and awe for his sovereign authority. And that is the beginning of wisdom, is what we're told in Proverbs. So to fear the Lord, to serve him, and to hold fast to him is the idea. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you." Hold fast to those. So in the Greek, that particular word suggests holding stationary. You might think of it in today's parlance as shelter in place. Stay stationary, not moving, or not intended to move. But once again, even in Revelation 3, verse 3, it says, "Remember therefore what you have received and heard." You know, sometimes we can be so quick to just move on from the things that we've heard, the things that we've seen, the things that God is instructing us in. But the Lord really wants us as disciples to really follow what he's speaking and be mindful of what he is saying. But he says, be careful to remember what you've received and heard. And it says, hold it fast. So hold it securely. And then the admonition is to repent, because when we hold fast to what he's speaking, then we're turning from anything that we might want to think on our own to think more in line with what he is saying. And so that is really a call that the Lord has for us in this time. So let your fasting be first and foremost a holding fast to him, so that he can lead you out of the ashes into his glorious light. And so I just believe that's really what the Lord is looking for in this season for us, is that we would be very intentional about seeking him. So in seeking him, we're actually seeking his righteousness. We're seeking right standing with him. By definition, righteousness is right standing with God. So if we're seeking him, it's because right standing with him has been made available to us. And so it involves our intentionality, involves our willingness to pursue and not be passive, but to be active. And it makes me think about when I first met my bride Deborah. When I first began to know her, I wanted to know her as much as I could. I wanted to be with her. I wanted to know her heart. I wanted to know her life, and I was after her. And that's just the nature of love. When we love, we want to seek that one. And so, you know, quite honestly, we're not able to be real active with a lot of other things in this season. We're being actually asked to be stationary, to stand fast, if you will, where we are in avoidance of any potential for spreading this virus. But one thing we can be active with, and that is actively pursuing righteousness, pursuing the one who loves us. So what am I saying? I'm saying seek Jesus like you never have. In this season, I believe we need to seek him like a starving man after a T-bone steak. I just think that it's really important for us to really be intentional as disciples of his. Are you a disciple? This is for you. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek first. Seek first. That speaks of priority, and it speaks of importance. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. What are the other things that you have concern about? Food, money, work, all of these things. We want to recognize that the Lord is going to provide for us. He's promised us he will do that. And so faith is the manner in which we attain to righteousness. So we do that through belief. We do that through seeking him and not by works. So we're not striving for these things like the Gentiles or those who don't have a covenant with God. We are simply resting in the confidence that comes by faith. In Romans 4, 3, it says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So our greatest responsibility is to believe God and to be responsive to the Lord in our faith. And so as we do that, of course, what we know is that that doesn't mean that we won't be active in being responsive to what the Lord is speaking to us. In fact, we will actually be responsive and active in accordance with what we're hearing. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. So righteousness is about receiving that which is credited to us, hearing and believing what he's speaking, and then being responsive in our deeds, in our works. So that out of our seeking, out of our pursuing his righteousness, that leads us out of the ashes and into his glorious plan for our lives, so that we can receive the promises that he has spoken to us. You know, just today, I was spending this morning just in prayer, and I had gone out. I had felt like the Lord wanted me to go out and pick up something at a grocery store. And so I'd gone out. And as I'd gone out, it was about a little after 8 o'clock in the morning. And in the western sky was this massive rainbow. And it was large and it was very colorful. I tried to snap a picture of it, but somehow the picture just does not do justice to what this rainbow was revealing. And I just really felt like it was a God wink that he's saying his righteous ones, he's never left without, and his promises are yet yes and amen. So out of the ashes into his glorious plan for our lives, as we receive his promises and as we walk in the right standing that he makes available to us. And then finally, I really feel like this is a time when the Lord is calling his church to be restored to the gospel. Now, what do I mean by that? Obviously, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance. It is the power of God that enables us to live our lives to Him. We're living in challenging times. We live in a culture in which our culture has been defined by a lot of rebellious behavior. As a consequence, we've seen an increase of ungodliness in sexual behavior, marriages being under attack, family being under attack, children experiencing things that they ought not to have to experience in life. And these are times that are challenging to our hearts. And so as we're in this period of time, we realize that challenging times like this really refine us and define us in terms of what is true and what our values actually are. And so one of the things that we, as the church, of course, really need to recognize is that good news is really needed. People need good news. And there is no better news than the gospel that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life, took upon His body on the cross all of our sins, that He died and was buried, and on the third day was raised again from the dead, certifying by the fact that Holy Spirit had raised Him from the dead, that He would rule and reign forever, and all who would receive Him would rule and reign with Him. In Psalm 86, 9 through 11, it says this, "All nations whom You have made shall come and worship before You, O Lord, and they shall glorify Your name. For You are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me Your way, O Lord. I will walk in Your truth. Unite my heart to fear Your name." So I just believe that the Lord is calling His church back to the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the power of the proclamation of the gospel. And Jesus was the one who first brought the message of the gospel. When He walked the earth, He spoke this. He said, "Repent." He said, "Believe the gospel." Repent means change the way you're thinking, change the way you're believing, change the moral condition of your lives, and receive the empowerment that I have for you as you believe the good news that makes you able to be a son and a daughter of the living God. And so Jesus proclaimed that the time was fulfilled, that the time had come for the kingdom of God to be near. And that is no less true in this season and in this time and in these circumstances in which we're living today. So the core announcement is God is breaking into the world. God is continually holding forth His arms to a people who have, in many cases, repressed the knowledge of Him, suppressed the knowledge of Him, have attempted to not permit His values and His heart to come into their lives. But the gospel message is expressed as a command. And it's expressed by Jesus because He is the one who deserves to be exalted. So it is a command. We see that command in Acts chapter 17, verses 29 through 31. It says this, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think of the divine being like gold or silver or stone or an image made by human design or skill." In other words, the thing about idols is idols are always self-serving for the worshiper. Idols are, by worshiping the idol, we receive the things that we want. And God's saying, "I don't want you to treat me like an idol. I want you to, because the idols that are served serve you. They're self-serving. But instead, we realize that our lives are made through the gospel, able for us to actually be servants of God. And in being servants of God, He will see to our lives being blessed beyond what we might otherwise think would be possible. Going on in verse 30, it says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, the ignorance of who God is. But now he commands all people everywhere to change their thinking, to change their way of believing, to change the way that they think, to think differently, to grasp that God is nearer now than when we first believed, and he is able to change the moral condition of our lives, the way that we believe, the things that we have need of as a result of receiving from him. So, and then finally, it says in verse 31, it says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is attesting to the reality that there is a coming appointed day that all men must be prepared for. So the gospel is about that reality. All men will stand before God one day and will give an account, excuse me, for the things that have been done while in the body. And it's a sobering idea. It's not something that I speak as an attempt to in any way manipulate or promote fear, but it's just the reality of what it means to recognize that we've been commanded to receive the truth of the gospel because his own son has come to express that. And he deserves to be exalted because through the Spirit of holiness, the Son of God was raised from the dead so that we might know Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. So the gospel lessons of shalom, receiving from him all that we have need of, that there's nothing that we are lacking, that there's nothing that we need. His peace is made available to us. His love, his compassion, his truth, his understanding, all of this are the things that help us to intentionally become the people that the Lord is calling us to be. So this is a decade, as we've been speaking about, the prophets are speaking the prophetic message that this is the time of the decade of the voice. You've been given a mouth, you've been given a voice, and it's time to arise from the ashes and to speak as a people without fear. We're not to fear what the peoples fear. That is what those who don't have a covenant with God fear. But instead, in Matthew 10, Jesus speaking to his disciples, once again, are you his disciple? I believe you are. But it says this, what I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. So I believe that while these conditions that we're living in currently are certainly unusual, abnormal, if you will, that even though in a few weeks we may return to some semblance of normalcy, and I expect that will be true, perhaps sooner rather than later, but a return to normalcy, I believe, for us, can never be a return to where we were before. I believe the church has been called forth in this season to arise out of the ashes and to arise out of the moral morose of our culture, to recognize that people have need of a greater stability in life than what they know from the circumstances of this world. So I believe that as the church, more than ever, we have to live in light of eternity. We have to live in light of how can I be activated in my imagination to live more actively in ways that call people who don't know him to know Christ, to know the anointing that pursues us and wants all people to come into the knowledge of the truth, to come into salvation in Jesus Christ. So let the restoration of the good news and our call to publish that, to make that known in our time, in our generation, let that be our a purpose. This church, His church, is arising out of the ashes of our culture to express, reveal, and make known the goodness of Jesus Christ. He wants to redeem all of mankind, and we are His agents in the earth. He's the one who is calling us forward in this time to step into the harvest field and to recognize that He is calling us to reveal His light and His glory and His word to a generation that needs Him. Speaking to us very specifically, that He desires His church to use this opportunity and recognize this season as a stepping out point for His church to become more intentional in arising from the ashes, in arising in the power of what it means to walk as disciples of Jesus Christ, what it means to seek after Him with all of our hearts, with our hearts united, seeking after Him first and foremost, His promises, but recognizing that we're holding fast to Him, we're seeking His righteousness, we're being restored to the gospel, so that all of these things will enable the church to arise from the ashes and to be what we've been called to be for just such a time as this. This is our time for this generation to step forward into the harvest field and see the church discipling and bringing many new believers into the knowledge of who Jesus is. The good news has never been more important than it is right now. And so in just a little bit, we'll give you an opportunity to get on a Zoom call with us, and we'll just have an opportunity to just have some conversation. But God bless you. Father, we just thank You for blessing us as Your people with Your word. We take Your word seriously, Lord, we do. So Lord, work by Your Spirit in every heart, Lord, that we would receive the fullness of Your message for this time that would lead us forward into Your purposes and Your destiny for us. We are Your church. We are Your servants. We are Your sons. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center. For more teachings and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.